WWN Talk Radio. AM 1470, with even more information you can use. Get a daily checkup on your financial matters. Join Bob Diamond, Michael Stern, and Newbridge Securities for A Diamond in the Rough, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 3 p.m. Only on WNN, South Florida's all-new Health and Wealth Network.
Electrical work is not for amateurs. When you have an electrical problem and you try to fix it yourself, the results can be catastrophic. At best, burning down your home. At worst, electrocuting yourself. A far better idea is to pick up the phone and call Mr. Electric. For 33 years, family-owned and operated, providing dedicated, honest, reliable service for homes, businesses, and industries here in South Florida. Mr. Electric is there for you, providing emergency 24-hour service 7 days a week. At Mr. Electric, all service technicians are drug-screened and background-checked. And if you're making home improvements and need a service upgrade to add a pool, a hot tub, landscape lighting, call Mr. Electric today, 954-792-6710. That's 954-792-6710. Or go to the website at mrelec.com. Tell them Steve sent you.
AM 1470 WNN is now the Health and Wealth Network, featuring more of the information you're looking for. Join us for the best health programs every day. Then, in late afternoons and evenings, tune in for more information for your financial success. Only on AM 1470 WNN, South Florida's all-new Health and Wealth Network. The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. This is the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, hosted by John Hollis. Some of our other guest hosts include South Florida psychotherapist Christy Summers, Robin Lynn Weinstein of Vegan Live Food Nutrition, and Daniel Lovers of the Serenity Group. Past guests include author and interventionist Kim Seeley of A&E's Intervention, Reverend Leo Booth from Spiritual Concepts, and the InTheRooms.com founders RT and Kenny P, and many others in the fields of addiction and holistic lifestyle, like Julian Whitaker of the Whitaker Institute, Dr. Clement of Hippocrates of West Palm Beach, and John Giordano of G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. The Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show can be heard Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m., Saturdays 4 to 6, and Sundays from 9 to 11 on AM 1470 WNN. We provide an interactive means of everybody getting involved around the world through Blog Talk Radio, InTheRooms.com, Facebook, and Twitter. For the best information in holistic health, call today at 877-799-8773. That's 877-799-8773. Or go online to HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. Now, today's show.
Hey, hey, welcome to the show, and of course it's for Holistic Health, Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, and of course we're live in the studio at WWNN 1470 AM. I'm John Hollis, I'm the host for the show for the next hour, and of course you might be listening on Blog Talk Radio, you could be listening on Twitter or Facebook, and wherever you're listening from, we want to welcome you to the show. And of course, when we talk about holistic lifestyles, we're talking about the whole approach, and maybe you're into, as I was saying to somebody earlier, you might be a tree hugger, and that's okay. You might be somebody that's suffering from addiction, and you want to have an alternative approach. You might be somebody that's out there that has the need to find a better way of eating and a better way of health because of issues that you're going through physically. So this is a show that's rounded, and what we try to do is carry a message of hope. So if you're in a position today where you're hopeless, what we're going to be talking about is addiction today, and we're going to be talking about alcoholism and drug addiction and addiction as a whole. Addiction can be, of course, formatted as anything that makes us feel better, and I do it too much. So that it starts to, of course, take a position in my life where it starts to drive and motivate me in ways that are unhealthy. And, of course, that's what we're here to talk about today. We want to do a couple of announcements. The first one is, of course, the 12-Step Music Fest is going to be course, kicking off next week. It's going to start on Thursday the 5th. It's going to go through the 8th. If you have not got your passes yet, you might want to consider doing that. They are running out of space, and you might want to give them a call. And you can do that by going to their website. It's the 12stepmusicfest.com. That's the 12stepmusicfest.com, and it's 12musicfest.com. You want to check that out and go there. And, of course, they're going to have all kinds of information there and, you know, what the rates are and all that stuff. But you definitely want to pre-register because next week I'm sure they're going to be out of spots at the campground. So we're looking forward to having everybody down there. I'm going to be, of course, going live Saturday at 4 o'clock. And we'll be going from 4 until 8 on Saturday the 7th. Myself and the staff of Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show will be there. It is considered the mini Woodstock of South Florida, so we're looking forward to it. And clothes are not optional. You have to wear your clothes at this one. But, you know, we're looking forward to a great time. And, of course, most importantly, we're looking forward to having some great bands and have some great people to hang out with, meetings in the water, all kinds of stuff going on. Also, if you get a chance, we now have the Green Wave Cafe that is aboard with us, and they will be doing the Wednesday show this coming Wednesday. Chef Lisa from the Green Wave Cafe will be doing an hour show on alternative approaches to food and healthy living through green foods. And, of course, we're looking forward to Lisa being on the show and having that show. And, of course, Tuesdays is Spirituality with Rashid. Mondays is Nutrition Wellness. This coming Monday, we're going to have a great show. We have Swanson coming on. Swanson produces and manufactures vitamins and different supplements and different health products, and we're going to have them on, and we're looking forward to that. And, of course, every Friday, tomorrow, tune in. You got the Broken Picker Fixer Dawn on tomorrow, and then Christy Summers should be coming back next Friday, and we're looking forward to Christy coming back to the mix and having her on the air talking about sexual addiction and other issues with relationship disorders. And we're looking forward to having her back. We have a great show in store for you today. We have a gentleman named Russell S., and Russell has come all the way from South Miami up here to spend some time with us, an hour, and to talk about a novel idea. That's spirituality and not using. And what does that mean? That means that we have to go through a 12-step approach to be able to do that. And if we go through the 12-step approach, if we do it right, then we have a conscious contact with our God, and we start to be able to experience God in a different way. So we're going to be talking to Russell about that. And Russell has been around for a long, long time. He has 25-plus years in recovery, and he has a model that will blow your mind. You know, when he tells you, we're going to talk about God, we're going to talk about God. And I love Russell, and Russell's going to be on. We're going to go to our first break, and when we come back, we're going to have Russell S., and we're going to be talking recovery and spirituality. We'll be back right after this message.
Trying to read the sun to tell me which way I should go to find the answer.
Are you tired of the auto mechanic runaround? Tired of the high cost and shabby repairs that go along with it? Let Jocko's Automotive Repair Center, with 25 years' experience, change all of that. They're located at 1141 West McNabb Road in Pompano Beach, at the corner of Andrews and McNabb. Jocko's Automotive Repair Center does everything from auto maintenance to engine rebuilds and transmission rebuilds. Let Jocko's 25 years of experience and his full auto diagnostic center help you with all of your auto needs. Stuck on the road? Call Jocko, 954-783-1999. That's 954-783-1999. And his friendly staff will tow you right to a center and help get you back on the road. Jocko's Automotive is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for any auto emergency you may have. Don't delay. Call Jocko's Automotive Repair Center today, 954-783-1999. That's 954-783-1999. Or just stop by. You tried the rest, now try the best. Jocko's Automotive Repair Center, at the corner of Andrews Avenue at McNabb Road, 954-783-1999.
Do you think you have a problem with addiction? We can help. The staff at Destination Hope is dedicated to providing the highest quality substance abuse and dual diagnosis treatment possible. a private all-male facility focused on issues specific to men. Destination Hope offers a unique environment for the individual to build a foundation for recovery. Destination Hope utilizes a broad spectrum of therapeutic approaches to provide our clients with the tools needed to battle addiction now and after treatment. Included in treatment at Destination Hope is a strong family program, which allows the client's entire family to become a part of the patient's recovery process. Note that chemical dependency is a disease and must be treated as such. Destination Hope's team uses solution-focused therapies to help each individual achieve long-term recovery. Our treatment philosophy includes reality therapy, cognitive behavioral therapies, motivational interviewing, relapse prevention, 12-step self-help philosophies, and our proudest achievement, destination therapy. Destination therapy is a goal-oriented approach to life's bleakest dilemmas and problems caused and heightened by substance abuse. At Destination Hope, clients prepare for the challenges and realities of everyday life while receiving treatment in a supportive and structured environment. Destination Hope can offer many different types of unique treatment. Call us to discuss your options at 888-684-4673 or go to destinationhope.net. Give yourself a break. Make that call now at 888-684-4673 or go to destinationhope.net.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
Holistic Lifestyles Radio will be broadcasting live from beautiful Sugarloaf Key at the second annual 12-Step Music Fest. It's an incredible weekend of music featuring Richie Supa of Aerosmith, comedian Mark Lundholm, and 30 other great bands and acts. The 12-Step Music Fest is Thursday, November 5th through Sunday, November 8th at the KOA campsite in Sugarloaf. Great fun for the entire family with camping, water sports, fishing, floating meetings, and nonstop music. Plus, be a part of the Holistic Lifestyles Radio live broadcast Saturday from 4 to 8. You must have a 3 or 4 day pass to attend, so call today for ticket information, 305-296-4726. That's 305-296-4726, the second annual 12-Step Music Fest at Sugarloaf Key, November 5th through the 8th. Call today for tickets, 305-296-4726, 305-296-4726. You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show on AM 1470 WNN, South Florida's Health and Wealth Network, also available on blogtalkradio.com. Now, back to today's show.
All right, welcome back to the show, and of course, you are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, and of course, we are all about addiction recovery today, and we're going to be talking to Russell S. How are you doing today, Russell?
I'm doing great, John. It's good to be here with you.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to see you, and it's amazing that I've seen Russell, literally have watched Russell for the last few years go to any lengths to carry a message in with, and a message that he carries, in my opinion, is a whole message the way that it was supposed to be shared from the very beginning. And we have lost, in some cases, in my opinion, the opportunity to be able to carry a message of God, because people tend to want to shy away from that message, that a higher power can be a doorknob, a higher power can be a chair, and that at the very beginning they made it no bones about it that God was everything or he was nothing. God is, you're either in or you're out with that concept. And do you agree that we kind of like lost our juice to a certain degree?
Well, you know, this is my opinion. I want to say that. I wouldn't want anybody to think that I actually know what I'm talking about. This is just, you know, because people tend to get upset.
You want to speak into the microphone.
People tend to get upset.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you know, I think the most important thing is that people, you know, you can't tell people what to do. It's a free country. But I think the greatest thing that happened to me when I first came to AA, and that was a little over, well, be 29 years in January, was that I had a sponsor who had me read the material. And, you know, because I want to sort of fly by the seat of my pants, and, of course, I think I'm pretty brilliant, as most alcoholics do, and I have my own ideas about things, and I want to do things my way, and I think I'm unique, and all the other stuff that goes along with that incredible tendency to want to be self-reliant and not believe in God, that's always there, to turn away from Him as soon as I feel, you know, better and not buy into this stuff. And one of the things that I, you know, there's a lot of things that shapes you in this. Life shapes you in this. I mean, you know, the world is rough, but one of the things that helped me out a lot is, besides hanging around old-timers, which to me was phenomenal. I still hang around old timers. My sponsor has 54 years, and I still hang around guys, and I'm 60. I hang around guys in their 80s and 90s. And he had me read the material, because the fellowship and the demographics of the fellowship will change, and it'll get diluted. And Lord knows we have hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people that are being dumped in from all over. God bless them. It's not like the good old days. You know, where they say, rarely have we seen a person fail as thoroughly followed our path. And then they describe the path in Dr. Bob and the good old timers. It's not like the good old days where they used to have them get down on their knees right out of the hospital bed and give their, you know, their lives to God, or have them go to the upper room. You know, people just come in and float in from all over the place. So there's a tendency in the fellowship to, you know, just sort of talk about things and discuss things the way we used to talk about them in bars, but without the booze, over coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And What you understand when you read things like Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, where it talks about when they say, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path, my tendency, because I'm so self-centered and my perception is so on myself, to think that their path, the path that they're talking about, was exactly like what's going on down at the, you know, fourth dimension club room or whatever rooms I'm going to or the people I'm hanging out with. I think they're talking about the exact same things I'm talking about. They're dealing with life in the exact same way. They're reading the exact same kind of books and discussing the exact same topics. And I have no reference point to understand what they really meant when they say, have thoroughly followed our path. And then I read Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. I read about who they were listening to, the people they were hanging around, the books they were reading. I read stuff like, which of course runs counter to my nature, that the reading of the book of James, the reading of 1 Corinthians 13, the Sermon on the Mount, was considered absolutely essential reading. I read things like the first AA meeting, based upon what was written in the grapevine, was Dr. Bob putting his foot on the rungs of a stool and reading the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and that the Bible was essential reading in quiet time. And you read about all this stuff, you know, and what was actually going on the first 4 years before they read the big book. And it gives you a different idea, you sort of look at what's going on today and what was going on back then, and unless you're going to be dishonest with yourself, you see there's sort of like a disconnect between what was actually going on and what they were talking about in the big book and how it's working itself out today in the fellowship. As I was talking to you a little bit before then, and one of the things I see, and I love the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love the meetings, but one of the things I see is we've gone from a what was essentially a theist approach where it was almost essential, and it was one of these things, we're talking about Clarence Snyder and the way Dr. Bob 12-step Clarence Snyder, where Snyder said, well, what does having believing God have to do with it? And Bob said, everything. We've gone from that God either is or he isn't, there is one who has all power, to sort of like a neutral, sort of sanitized thing, because we have that alcoholic perception, God forbid, we're not accepted or not loved by anybody, let's make sure we don't offend anybody, to a point now where my perception is, and I think it's the perception of a lot of people in the fellowship, that it's almost anti-theist. It's like people have this sense that if they talk about God, or anything like that, it offends people. That's offensive, and it's not really the program of recovery, and which runs counter to the way I read this program. And I was introduced to it 29 years ago, and it was different. Hmm. When I was introduced to it, you know, my sponsor, he wasn't the most religious or spiritual guy in the world. He was a wonderful guy. My first sponsor, he gave me a copy of Sermon on the Mount by Emmett Fox. It was very popular. I got the 24-hour book, which was a compilation of sayings from the big book and the...
And that was the original black 24-hour
book. The black 24-hour book. And prior to that, for like 10 or 20 years, whatever it is, prior to that, that's what they were using. Mm. And it was sayings from the big book and from the Bible. And this is the stuff that was used. And if you look back in 1935, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, and things like that, this is the stuff that was still going on. And, you know, you can go to the fellowship today and decide what's really happening and what you see. So the literature hasn't changed. But, of course, it's just like the great thing about having literature like we have is that the literature is unchanged. And if you honestly read the literature, you can see what it – you can form your own opinions, but at least you see what the literature says. But how many people really study the literature? How many people actually read the big – how many people get into Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers? And I'm just not sure that that's something that actually occurs that much.
Well, I think that you come in and, you know, in some cases you're told, listen, you know, read the doctor's opinion, read how it works, and give me a call.
I think it's actually something like this. We come in here, we get like bumper sticker stuff, and there's nothing necessarily totally wrong with the sayings, but I think we sort of memorize a few things like acceptance is the answer to all our problems. I don't think so. I think sometimes it's courage and sometimes it's other things, but we memorize certain things that we hear in meetings, like the acceptance thing and stuff like first things first, easy does it. And we these little capsulized little things, and we think, I got the program now. You know, we sort of build our lives around these little things, these little bumper sticker savings, which are good in and of themselves, but it's not a substitute for actually getting into the meat and potatoes of the deal.
So you're talking about the parroting program.
I don't know, but I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But hey, it all gets out. It all comes out in the wash, doesn't it? I mean, the truth of the matter is, what's true and what's right will succeed and last and be permanent. And you know, I've always felt it's sort of like a giant self-cleaning oven every 2 years. You know, what's not right and what's not true and what's not based on what's true will eventually either burn off or it'll go away until. You know, so many times you have people coming in and out until, you know, hopefully they finally focus on the right stuff and they get it right.
Yeah, it's a trudge in some days, but, you know, overall, you know, the rewards that you receive when you finally put your head into the book, you finally get somebody that wants to give you true direction from what, you know, we were based on for the last, you know, 75 plus years. And you start to look at it in the reality of their eyes back then through their readings, you know, through the readings that we have today. It's a pretty open and shut case that, you know, it all begins and starts with me and ends with me. And if I'm not looking at me in every situation and looking what's wrong and what upheavals are happening and inventorying it and all of that stuff, and I don't do that work, then I'm not going to get any results.
Well, one of the problems we have, you know, I love the fellowship, but, you know, understanding the nature of the disease. Number one, we're selfish, self-centered, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion. We're self-delusional, and we usually don't think so. And on top of all that, we're defiant. We don't want to do any of this stuff. I mean, if we did this stuff naturally, we wouldn't be here. And if you put on that, top of that the added additional layer that it talks about in the chapter of the agnostics is that we really hate God, we don't want to get involved in God, and we'd rather not do it with God, and then you understand that that kind of critter that I just described is basically what we have in the fellowship. I mean, that's basically the critter we start with. So maybe if you have hundreds of thousands of people like that, okay, they're going to tend to want to, not because they're good, bad, or indifferent. They're going to want to try to water down the hard stuff, the hard doctrine that's actually in these books, because our whole nature goes against doing this stuff. We're always looking to see whether, well, it doesn't really apply to me, or seeing things I have this story I tell about my first marriage, if I could say that, it's a little theory I have about alcoholics. It's probably in the book somewhere, but I my first wife, when I was about 25 or 26, I can't remember, she's a wonderful girl, and Of course, not as wonderful as my wife, who's outside right now.
Absolutely.
I want to point that out.
Absolutely.
She just
came up to the window, Russ.
Yeah, with a baseball bat. But she said to me, she said, and I was about as sober as I am right now, she said, if you come home drunk one more time, he says, I'm leaving you. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning. It couldn't have been clearer. I mean, she couldn't have taken out one word. If you come home drunk one more time, I'm leaving you. I don't think there's a spare word in there. And you'd have to be brain dead not to understand that. And I listened to her. I got in my car. I drove about 5 blocks. And I remember the first thought I had is, what the heck did she mean by that? So my theory is that when an alcoholic hears, sees, or is told something he doesn't like, it confuses him. So my tendency is to think that even though the words of the book are incredibly clear in many places, burn the idea into the alcoholic's mind about God. All the things they say in the big book, we never apologize for God, the slender reed and everything that they say in the big book about the necessity of that deal, I have to understand that there's always this tendency in me to not want to do this, so I sort of read the things I don't want to read, get confused by the other things. I mean, how many people have read this book, you know, 10 or 15 years sober, and all of a sudden seen a line or a paragraph that was there all along that they see for the first time?
Mm.
And you just sort of see things when you see things because you don't want to see them because
well,
they're too radical.
It's almost like you're spiritually not ready for them, and as you're starting to grow, if you continue to stay in the book, you can continue to get more messages from it. Well, yeah, and that brings up a great point. We're going to have to go to a break, but when we come back, what I want to talk about is how I tend to see a lot of big book studies that take, you know, one or two words and dissect it and pull it apart, and it reads what it says. So we're going to find out more about that when we come back right after this message.
Are you tired of the auto mechanic runaround? Tired of the high cost and shabby repairs that go along with it? Let Jocko's Automotive Repair Center, with 25 years' experience, change all of that. They're located at 1141 West McNabb Road in Pompano Beach, at the corner of Andrews and McNabb. Jocko's Automotive Repair Center does everything from auto maintenance to engine rebuilds and transmission rebuilds. Let Jocko's 25 years of experience and his full auto diagnostic center help you with all of your auto needs. Stuck on the road? Call Jocko, 954-783-1999. That's 954-783-1999. And his friendly staff will tow you right to a center and help get you back on the road. Jocko's Automotive is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for any auto emergency you may have. Don't delay. Call Jocko's Automotive Repair Center today, 954-783-1999. That's 954-783-1999. Or just stop by. You tried the rest, now try the best. Jocko's Automotive Repair Center at the corner of Andrews Avenue at McNabb Road, 954-783-1999.
Do you think you have a problem with addiction? We can help. The staff at Destination Hope is dedicated to providing the highest quality substance abuse and dual diagnosis treatment possible. A private all-male facility focused on issues specific to men, Destination Hope offers a unique environment for the individual to build a foundation for recovery. Destination Hope utilizes a broad spectrum of therapeutic approaches to provide our clients with the tools needed to battle addiction now and after treatment. Included in treatment at Destination Hope is a strong family program, which allows the client's entire family to become a part of the patient's recovery process. Note that chemical dependency is a disease and must be treated as such. Destination Hope's team uses solution-focused therapies to help each individual achieve long-term recovery. Our treatment philosophy includes reality therapy, cognitive behavioral therapies, motivational interviewing, relapse prevention, 12-step self-help philosophies, and our proudest achievement, Destination Therapy. Destination Therapy is a goal-oriented approach to life's bleakest dilemmas and problems caused and heightened by substance abuse. At Destination Hope, clients prepare for the challenges and realities of everyday life while receiving treatment in a supportive and structured environment. Destination Hope can offer many different types of unique treatment. Call us to discuss your options at 888-684-4673 or go to destinationhope.net. Give yourself a break. Make that call now at 888-684-4673 or go to destinationhope.net.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the step. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
Holistic Lifestyles Radio will be broadcasting live from beautiful Sugarloaf Key at the second annual 12-Step Music Fest. It's an incredible weekend of music featuring Richie Supa of Aerosmith, comedian Mark Lundholm, and 30 other great bands and acts. The 12-Step Music Fest is Thursday, November 5th through Sunday, November 8th at the KOA campsite in Sugarloaf. Great fun for the entire family with camping, water sports, fishing, floating meetings, and nonstop music. Plus, be a part of the Holistic Lifestyles Radio live broadcast Saturday from 4 to 8. You must have a 3 or 4 day pass to attend, so call today for ticket information, 305-296-4726. That's 305-296-4726, the second annual 12-Step Music Fest at Sugarloaf Key, November 5th through the 8th. Call today for tickets, 305-296-4726, 305-296-4726. You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show on AM 1470 WNN, South Florida's Health and Wealth Network. Also available on blogtalkradio.com. Now, back to today's show.
Okay, welcome back. And, of course, we're on the air today with the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show with Russell S. And Russell is here. Of course, he's part of the 12-step approach, the granddaddy of them all. And Russell S. Is talking about some old literature and different things from AA that is old literature but should be lived every day, and how we kind of neglect sometimes taking that new literature into our hearts and utilizing it the way it was set forth for us to do that. You know, before we get started on this next segment of this, I'd like to propose a question to you, Russell.
Yeah.
That when you walk in and you're hearing somebody give their understanding of the literature, and you're at a book study, and you have somebody breaking down word by word what they mean in that. What I mean, doesn't it get confusing for a newcomer? Where it kind of gets, I mean, in your belief, I mean, do you think that the book says what it says and means what it says, and there's no, like, hidden messages?
Look, I don't know whether I, as far as newcomers believe, I'm just like one of these guys that believes that I'm not so sure that knowledge is as important as desire.
Hmm.
I think if you, like Bill Wilson says, I agree, he says, when people want God enough, he appears. If people want to stay sober enough, isn't that what it says in the book? It says if you want what we have, if you desire what we have, and you're willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. It doesn't say you take these steps, you'll be well. It says this is a step before the step. If you really want this, and you're willing to do anything, then you're ready. And I believe that if somebody really desires this, they want it more than anything else. They may not even understand what they want. You know, they're just looking at another guy. They're looking at a Bill Wilson. They're looking at John H., you know, and they're willing to do whatever they have to do to get it. Somehow it will come to them in the time God wants it to come to them, and they'll do fine. They'll mess up. They'll fall on their face. They don't have to necessarily understand anything. And sometimes the guys that don't necessarily want it or aren't necessarily willing to go to any length, they could be reciting the book. They can know everything, and somehow, somewhere along the line, something happens where they get sidetracked by Sally or the baseball game, or they got to wash the parakeet one night, and you know, whatever it is, they get by the worldly glamours. So, in my mind, it has more to do with desire than knowledge.
So when we start to, it brings up a great point, when we start to put other things into our way, and we start to put things in front of the same thing that saved our lives, God, then what ends up happening is we end up losing that connection, and through that we end up losing our recovery.
Sure, and you know, listen, let's face it, in the fellowship, in the 12-step fellowship, you're going to hear all sorts of crazy things. Sometimes the crazy things are the things like, you listen, how do we find out about ourselves? Some guy stands up and says something, you say, man, that guy's crazy, and then you say, hey, I'm like that. You know, but what I'm saying, you're going to be exposed to all sorts of, you're going to be exposed to the good, the bad, the indifferent, whatever it is. There's no way you can sanitize that out. It's probably a good thing, but the people that really want it and desire it and don't want to drink more than anything else, they're going to hang in there, and eventually they're going to get where they're supposed to get. They'll get to where they're supposed to get.
So when you have somebody walking in and they give you 15 reasons why they drank, and my parakeet died, or I lost $10,000, or I did this, or I did that, or all of those excuses. Feasibly, in their own mind, they believe that garbage.
Well, I don't know whether they believe it superficially. I mean, a lot of these guys. Look, I treat everybody individually in a sense. Although I don't necessarily go along with the I'm unique thing, I do treat people individually, not as a cookie cutter. And some people, you could just say to something like that, look, just keep coming back. And some people say, well, that's a bunch of crap, And the interesting thing is sometimes alkies will say something to you, and they'll look at you with a straight face, and they'll say it, and they really mean it, and they're incredibly sincere. And you'll look at them, depending upon your relationship with them, as a sponsor, and say, that's the biggest bunch of crap I've ever heard.
Mm.
You did it because of this. And they'll look at you and you'll say, you're right. it's like you're right. Okay, guilty, busted. So who knows what they believe or don't believe. Algies are the most incredible liars to themselves.
Mm.
They will tell you something with a straight face, yell and scream it, get upset that you even question their sincerity. And then when you tell them they're full of crap, they'll look at you and say, you're right. Thanks for bringing that up. So, who can figure these guys out? We're all nuts.
It's funny. I gotta share with the audience. Everybody knows that. I came from underneath the bridge. So this one time, I came from the side of a 12-step clubhouse group, and I was sleeping in the bushes. And my nickname down there was Johnny Bushes. And I was sleeping in the bushes, and I came to one morning, and I came strolling into this meeting room, and Russell was there. And Russell was watching me, and, after the meeting, he said, hey, would you like to have some breakfast? And, of course, I wasn't going to turn down a free breakfast. It was free, I was hungry, and I was on my way. So I got to where we were going, and we sat down, and Russell said to me, John, I really believe that, I have this place down in Hialeah that we could get you worked out, and we can get you in there, and, we can, I can help you make a phone call and see if we can get you in this treatment program. And I said, now you got to remember, I just woke up on the side of the club in the bushes. I still have, stickers in my hair, basically, and have had the same clothes on for days. And I said, Russell, it's all good. I have it all under control. I got it figured out.
That's why we allow you to go to closed meetings, John, because of things like that. I had actually forgotten that, but that's a perfect illustration as to how crazy we are.
Absolutely.
You had it all under control, you in the bushes.
Yeah, and again, in my own mind, see, my sick thinking told me for years, hey, listen, it's all good. I got it.
As a matter of fact, I think when I called you on that, you I may have gotten this wrong. I thought you looked like you were upset at me.
Oh, absolutely. And I was upset because I didn't understand.
Yeah. It's very confusing.
Very, very confusing. What does he mean?
I was offering you a place to, three hots and a cot, and maybe try to get you out of the bushes. And that I should even think that you had a problem was amazing.
I'm fine.
So who knows what newcomers think? Who could figure it out?
And the reason that we bring that up and I bring that story up is to solidify what we're talking about here. And in the end, I got to tell you that Russell brought up something to me at the break that was so cool that you tend to forget. Sometimes I know I do, where the intensity of where I was at the very beginning, I start to lose that intensity, And then I have to really look at, again, inventorying and whoa, wait a minute, you know, I'm going off track here. I'm going off the beam. I need to come back. And he was telling me a story about Bill Wilson, one of the co-founders, that when he came in, he was on fire. And tell the story.
Well, you know, this, the great thing about reading literature, and, you know, one of the things about staying sober for a while and reading this literature, you start really connecting dots, and you see patterns, and you see things that you didn't see before. And, you know, I love Bill Wilson. I love Dr. Bob. I love all these guys, and they said a lot of profound things. But, you know, you have to remember that Bill Wilson isn't my higher power, and these guys were all alcoholic. And we're more alike than we are different, I think, you know. And there's this great sort of paradox. On page 199 of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous number 3, which is Bill Dodson, talks about sitting there, much the way as I guess I did and you did, watching Bill Wilson being so amazed at him and trying to figure out what is the special thing about him that Bill Wilson had that affected this incredible change. And I'll read it directly from the book. This is what he says. He says, it would be hard to estimate how much AA has done for me. I really wanted the program, and I wanted others to go. I wanted to go along with it. I noticed that others seemed to have such a release, a happiness, a something that I thought a person ought to have. I was trying to find the answer. I knew there was even more, something I hadn't got. I remember going to meetings, looking at these old-timers saying, man, I wish I could have what he had. Maybe I'll hear something. Maybe this guy will have something. And then this is what Bill Dodson says. And I remember one day, a week or two after I'd come out of the hospital, Bill was at my house talking to my wife and me. We were eating lunch, and his wife's name was, by the way, Henrietta. There was a lot of Henriettas there. When we were eating lunch and I was listening and trying to find out why they had this release and they seemed to have, Bill looked across at my wife and said to her, now this is Bill Wilson, shortly after getting sober, after having the experience in the hospital, he says this, Henrietta, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease that I just want to keep talking about it and telling other people. He wasn't ashamed about that. He wasn't ashamed to talk about it. He was excited about it, exuberant about it. And this is what Bill Dodson says. I thought, and it was affecting other people. It was having a positive effect on other people. He says, I thought, I think I have the answer. Bill was very, very grateful that he had been released from this terrible thing, and he had given God the credit for having done it. And he's so grateful about it, he wants to tell other people about it. That sentence, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease that I just want to keep telling people about it, has been sort of a golden text for the AA program for me. Now, that's in our book, in the literature, of our basic text. Now, here's the interesting thing about that, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a true story. A short time afterwards, that same guy, Bill Wilson, who was saying that and affecting people's lives, including Bill Dodson's life, in talking to Henrietta Sarbling, another Henrietta, in Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timer on page 159, says the following, something, by the way, that you hear around the fellowship today all the time. In the early days, she recalled, Bill said to me, Henrietta, I don't think we should talk so much about religion or God. This is the same guy who was saying just a few months ago, the Lord has been so great to me, curing me of this devil's disease. And this is what she says to him. And the reason he was saying that, and you'll understand from the context, is because other people were criticizing for it. Because we are so sensitive, no matter what's going on, we are so sensitive. God forbid somebody doesn't like us. We will switch around and we will prostitute ourselves in a second. Just why do you think alcoholics, when they come out of the hospital, the first thing they say is, what do I say if somebody asks me whether I want a drink? Because we need to have a cover story so we look cool or we look okay. God forbid we should say no, or I don't drink, or I'm an alcoholic. I'll kill myself. We got to be able to tell them something so they won't be mad at us.
Mm-hmm.
Because God forbid, then I'd have, because I just soon drink and die and flush my wife down the toilet, then have you dislike me. So this is what Bill says, and this is part of my nature of being an alcoholic. You know, it says in the 12 and 12, unless and until an alcoholic accepts his alcoholism and all its consequences, his sobriety be precarious, and true happiness he'll find none at all. That's just as much part of my alcoholism and the way I am and the way I react to people as the drinking, which is a symptom. It says, in the early days, she recalled, Bill said to me, Henrietta, I don't think we should talk so much about religion and God. I said to him, well, we're not out to please alcoholics. They have been pleasing themselves all these years. We are out to please God. And if you don't talk about what God does in your faith and your guidance, then you might as well be the Rotary Club or something like that, because God is your only source of power. Finally, Bill Wilson agreed. So, you know, there was a time, you have to say, because of our nature, even Bill Wilson, he was starting to go, he was starting to hang a right away from the program as it's written in the book. There is one that has all power, and starting to say, well, maybe we shouldn't talk so much about God. And he was brought back to center by Henrietta Seiberling. And, you know, imagine if that had, and you know, if you, how many AA rooms do you go in today where they say things like, well, I'm spiritual, not religious, we shouldn't talk so much about our lay off the God thing. I had a guy that, I don't sponsor him, I think he's a grand sponsor or something like that. He went up north, and somebody told him who had 29 years in the fellowship, he was about to get up and give his story, which has a lot to do with God, said, listen, this is what he told me. He said, don't talk too much about the God thing. Now, all you have to do is read the steps and read our book and be familiar. And that's coming from somebody with 20. Don't talk too much about the God thing. So that's what we've come to these days. And, of course, I understand this difference is opinion. This is my opinion. Great thing about our fellowship is you're free to consider all the opinions and do whatever you want to do.
And you know something? We have a great show rolling here today, boy. And we're getting a message out, and that message is, of course, the message. And the deal, as Russell calls it. And we will be back right after the messages that you're going to be hearing.
Are you tired of the auto mechanic runaround? Tired of the high cost and shabby repairs that go along with it? Let Jocko's Automotive Repair Center, with 25 years experience, change all of that. They're located at 1141 West McNabb Road in Pompano Beach, at the corner of Andrews and McNabb. Jocko's Automotive Repair Center does everything from auto maintenance to engine rebuilds and transmission rebuilds. Let Jocko's 25 years of experience and his full auto diagnostic center help you with all of your auto needs. Stuck on the road? Call Jocko, 954-783-1999. That's 954-783-1999. And his friendly staff will tow you right to a center and help get you back on the road. Jocko's Automotive is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for any auto emergency you may have. Don't delay. Call Jocko's Automotive Repair Center today, 954-783-1999. That's 954-783-1999. Or just stop by. You tried the rest, now try the best. Jocko's Automotive Repair Center at the corner of Andrews Avenue at McNabb Road, 954-783-1999.
Do you think you have a problem with addiction? We can help. The staff at Destination Hope is dedicated to providing the highest quality substance abuse and dual diagnosis treatment possible. A private all-male facility focused on issues specific to men, Destination Hope offers a unique environment for the individual to build a foundation for recovery. Destination Hope utilizes a broad spectrum of therapeutic approaches to provide our clients with the tools needed to battle addiction now and after treatment. Included in treatment at Destination Hope is a strong family program, which allows the client's entire family to become a part of the patient's recovery process. Note that chemical dependency is a disease and must be treated as such. Destination Hope's team uses solution-focused therapies to help each individual achieve long-term recovery. Our treatment philosophy includes reality therapy, cognitive behavioral therapies, motivational interviewing, relapse prevention, 12-step self-help philosophies, and our proudest achievement, Destination Therapy. Destination Therapy is a goal-oriented approach to life's bleakest dilemmas and problems caused and heightened by substance abuse. At Destination Hope, clients prepare for the challenges and realities of everyday life while receiving treatment in a supportive and structured environment. Destination Hope can offer many different types of unique treatment. Call us to discuss your options at 888-684-4673 or go to destinationhope.net. Give yourself a break. Make that call now at 888-684-4673 or go to destinationhope.net.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember,
If the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
Holistic Lifestyles Radio will be broadcasting live from beautiful Sugarloaf Key at the 2nd Annual 12-Step Music Fest. It's an incredible weekend of music featuring Richie Supa of Aerosmith, comedian Mark Lundholm, and 30 other great bands and acts. The 12-Step Music Fest is Thursday, November 5th through Sunday, November 8th at the KOA campsite in Sugarloaf. Great fun for the entire family with camping, water sports, fishing, floating meetings, and nonstop music. Plus, be a part of the Holistic Lifestyles Radio live broadcast Saturday from 4 to 8. You must have a 3 or 4 day pass to attend, so call today for ticket information, 305-296-4726. That's 305-296-4726. The 2nd Annual 12-Step Music Fest at Sugarloaf Key, November 5th through the 8th. Call today for tickets, 305-296-4726. 305-296-4726. You are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show on AM 1470 WNN, South Florida's Health and Wealth Network. Also available on blogtalkradio.com. Now, back to today's show.
All right. And, of course, you are listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show, and it's all about recovery and addiction recovery and through the 12-step approach today. Just to kind of sum everything up, if you've been listening, you've been listening about how the co-founders, Dr. Bob Smith, and Bill Wilson, which, you know, there's no anonymity there because they got movies after them today. You can go out and get the Hallmark Bill W. and hear the whole story. Also, at the same time, if you're listening to the show and you're saying that, you know, we shouldn't be talking about God so much in the 12-step approach, well, the 12-step approach, in my opinion, has been based on, for many years, having a spiritual awakening. And that spiritual awakening, as they looked at it at the very beginning, was to honestly understand God and know God and to get a personal relationship with God. And through that personal relationship, that my mind begins to change and I become spiritually fit. And how do I become spiritually fit? Well, I end up having a understanding of the Spirit of God that lives in me, and through that Spirit I have God consciousness, and that God consciousness directs me in different ways that I had never even dreamed possible. And that's how I believe the program, and when it says we will know life beyond our wildest dreams, I believe that, and it only comes through the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God that puts me out there every day. And, you know, as I'm going through trials and tribulations, the thought of doing something for another human being, or the thought of loving the unlovable, or doing those things that are difficult for me, to self-centered alcoholic in the extreme, for me to think, wow, you know, I need to help that person, is really, you know, out of bounds for me. And Russell, I love the way that you put it simplistically, that it all begins with your relationship with God. And if you don't have that, and you don't formulate that, and you don't nurture that, and you don't work on that on a daily basis with your relationship with God, and in turn giving it away to others, then you're really losing the purpose of why we're here.
You know, on page 29 of the book, where it talks about what our stories are supposed to be about, mm-hmm. And, you know, I love a good drunkologue. I can give a drunkologue. We can all give a drunkologue, and there's nothing wrong with that. But understand, on page 29, it says the following. It says, further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. These are followed by 42 personal experiences, 42 testimonies. Then it says this. Each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he, what, did the 4th step, the 5th step, did the 12-step program of recovery? No. The way he established his relationship with God. You know, understand that what this book is all about, which is why it leads down to the 11th step, which is having had a conscious contact and improving the conscious contact, and then telling people about this. The whole point of the book, at every point in the spectrum, is about developing this relationship with God. In chapter 5, after we've done the fourth step in chapter 5, which is, you know, as you know, into action, the first paragraph of chapter 5 and into action says the following. having made our personal inventory, what shall we do? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and discover the obstacles in our path. All along, see to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. If you are sincerely making this decision, you know, the decision they talk about not to be God, but to walk through that archway, mm-hmm. if you, then all sorts of remarkable things will happen, you know, if as long as you stay close to Him and do His work well. The whole book, at every point of the spectrum, is about doing these spiritual exercises, which will ultimately get us to the point where we have developed some sort of relationship with God and then improve upon that. I mean, that's the point, because because it's a spiritual malady that I suffer from. It's not about being sober, because even though obviously sobriety is important, because to me, what the big book tells me is that sobriety, for me, is to be restless, irritable, and discontented. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I drink the alcohol because I like the effect produced by alcohol. That happens in a second. What it's about is how do you maintain sobriety and not be restless, irritable, and discontented? And that's because since alcohol is but the symptom, my disease centers in my mind, not my body, and our solution is a spiritual solution. And it has to do with an absence of relationship with God. And that's what basically changes us. That's why in the promises it says we come to see that He is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. The stuff we could do for ourselves is not so important as the miracles that happen to us and the changes that happen to us as we develop this relationship. So at least that's the way I read the book. And I think if you honestly read the book and Dr. Bill and the Good Old Timers, the material, I think that comes across pretty clearly, unless you don't want to see it. And the truth of the matter is, if you know anything about this disease, there's a lot of things we really don't want to see because you'd rather not see it.
But denial.
My personal deal is just people read the book and come to their own conclusions. You know, it's like that old game telephone. You know, if you tell one person something, then he tells the next person 100 down the line, it loses, it becomes gibberish. Well, you have a program that's been passed down for 70 years based upon written material. Millions of alcoholics coming into this program. And prior to that, that program was based upon primarily written material over a period of thousands of years. Now, if all of a sudden all it takes is common sense. If over a period of decades, nobody's reading the material, they're not reading Dr. Bob in the Good Old Times. They're not reading the Big Book. They're not doing this. And it's just based upon a bunch of guys that are kind of not doing too well mentally and physically and spiritually, sitting around A rooms drinking coffee and talking about, you know, their feelings, you know, what's that program going to become? It's not going to look like the program they started off
down.
With. Yeah, it's going to be watered down.
Well, you know something, we have another fine show coming to a completion. And again, we want to thank Russell S. for being a part of the show today. And you can listen to this rebroadcast, of course, immediately following the show on Blog Talk Radio. And the MP3's there if you'd like to get it. You can also get the MP3. You can also go to holisticlifestylesradio.com and click on the Thursday Open Forum show, and you can listen to the show again also. We want to thank you for being a part of the show today. We want to thank you for listening. And most importantly, always remember, as I say every day, if you're above dirt, you're doing good. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 p.m. Thanks for listening.
The opinions expressed on this sponsored program were strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of its staff or sponsors.
I just did what I had to do and moved on to the next thing. That's Jamal, who became a young caregiver at age 15 when his mom had a stroke. There are many children and adolescents living in our community who provide substantial assistance to household members who need help because of physical or mental illness, disability, frailty associated with aging, substance misuse, or other conditions. These student caregivers are yet unseen and unheard, Your help is very much needed to raise awareness, conduct research, and provide the support and services caregiving youth need. Please call Lori Connors at 561-391-7401 or visit www.aacy.org to learn more. If you're a golfer, a tennis player, or even if you're not, you can still swing into action by promoting dignity and independence for those who can't drive or go out on their own. Join Boca Respite Volunteers, people of all ages helping people of all ages. Do what you already know how to do for yourself or someone else. Call 561-391-7401 or visit www.boca-respite.org. WWNN, Pompano Beach. AM 1470, with even more information you can use. Tune in for the Inner Light Connection, Saturdays at 9 a.m., only on WNN.
Have you seen today's paper? Another industry going to Congress for a handout, the record labels.
I know, and three of the four major labels are located overseas.
And they want Congress to take the money from local radio stations.
The same stations that raise money for our local charities.
They actually want Congress to take money out of our community and send it to foreign-owned companies? I'm going to call our representative right now.
Learn more at noperformancetax.org. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, this is Patty Duke. Social Security has made applying for retirement benefits online easier than ever before. Now it's so easy a beatnik can do it with his laptop in any malt shop. Retire online at www.socialsecurity.gov. It's so easy.
This is Radio Green Earth, America's premier on-air forum for environmental awareness. Brought to you by Eco Advisors in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. From universal issues like conservation, global warming, and alternative energy, to everyday concerns like indoor air quality and recycling, we cover it all from every angle with guest experts, government policymakers, and the people on the cutting edge. And now, today's edition of Radio Green Earth.
Good morning, South Florida, and welcome to Radio Green Earth. I'm Missy Tancredi, and today is Monday, October 26, 2009. Today we have our last show here on WNN, and we'll be speaking with Marilyn Gerber, the mayor of Coconut Creek, Robert Weiland, the spectacular marine life artist, and David Eltzer, the man behind the upcoming Living Green Fair. This week we'll also be speaking with Joe Epstein from Surfrider at University of Miami. South Floridians and people around the world are addressing climate change this past weekend. We're going to talk about that. Loggerhead turtles, Goliath groupers, and as always, the green tip of the week. And the good news is we've got Dave here from Dave's Country Corner, the real live guy. All right, my co-host today, John Poggi, is here.
Good morning, Missy.
Good morning, John. How are things?
Things are great.
Yeah?
And I don't know how you did this, but you worked out getting Dave into the studio.
That's right.
It's really amazing.
We ripped him out of his country corner and got him in studio.
Well, we're glad to have you, Dave.
Well, that's great.
So first we're going to go to Joe Epstein. Joe Epstein is on the line. He is with Surf Riders of University of Miami. Good morning, Joe.
Morning. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Surf Rider at the University of Miami?
Well, Surf Rider is at the University of Miami is part of the National Surf Rider Foundation, which initiatives about preserving the ocean, the beach, and public access.
So what are some of your main initiatives with doing that? Are you protecting the reefs? What are you doing down there?
Well, actually, we do a lot of things. We do dune restorations. We do beach cleanups. We also do protests when need be. Just this last year, we had a protest against artificial reefs that were being implanted off the coast of South Beach. It was supposed to help beach erosion, but really they were destroying the waves, and they were very un-eco-friendly. So luckily we won, and they will not be implemented.
Hey, Joe. Good morning. Joe,
good morning. How are you?
Good. Are you a student, or are you in a
faculty?
Faculty? What's your role at the U of M?
Oh, I'm the president of the Surfrider at UM, and I'm also a fifth-year architecture student.
An architect? And I'm going, wow, this is interesting.
Sure.
Sounded good, though, actually,
it's
Joe,
a little,
speaking
it's a little different.
All right, so you're an architecture student?
Yes, I am.
And for Surfrider University of Miami, are faculty and students involved, or is it just primarily students?
It's primarily students, and that's the way we like it. You know, for a lot of the red tape, we have faculty members who help us out, and we have a dean of the law school who has been with us since the beginning, who's very nice and helps us out a lot, but we try to keep it as student-based as we can just to get them more involved and to, you know, get more kids involved.
And can students from other universities connect up with you at U of M to join Surfrider?
Absolutely. All they have to do is join the Facebook group, Surfrider UM. They can search it in the search bar on Facebook, and what is the first thing that pops up?
Great. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And do you have any events coming up soon, Joe?
Yes, we do. November 21st. It's a little subject to change, but we hope it'll be the 21st. We are having a fundraiser concert with an organization called Rescue Earth. It'll be on the roof of the Mayfair Hotel in Coconut Grove.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a bunch of bands. We're having, open bar, food, the whole deal.
And what is the fundraiser going towards?
To both Rescue Earth, which has a similar economic and ecosystems initiatives, and also the Surfrider, the South Florida chapter.
Okay, and people can sign up with Surfrider, you said, through Facebook and
yes,
also on the website?
Do you have a website?
Yes, the National Foundation has the website surfrider.org, which anyone can join. They will get the newsletters, and they'll also get information about meetings for their local chapter.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Joe, and we hope we'll see you on November 14th and 15th at Living Green Fair.
Absolutely.
Terrific. Great.
Thanks,
Joe. You have a great week.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Nice. All right, Dave, this is it. You're on the spot.
Oh, yeah. Boy, you got me in the studio finally. Actually, it feels pretty good to be here, get out of the back 40 once in a while. Actually, the seat sounds great, or feels great. It's a lot more comfortable than that tractor. But anyway.
Less carbon emissions.
Yeah, yeah. I guess. Oh, man. Well, today I wanted to kind of talk about, I believe it was May of this year, and I reported some recent USDA agricultural census figures that showed that the number of farms in the Americas here is growing. And I thought that was great. The number of farms usually has been decreasing over the last couple decades, and that was a good sign that agriculture is doing well. And basically it showed a 5% increase in the number of farms in Florida alone, and there was a 4% increase in the nation as a whole. The large portion of these farms are organic, and the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, was very pleased with that, and as most of these farms are organic, and he was most impressed with their effort to improve the per-acre productivity. And some of the new research, though, has found that there's a lot of benefits of the local organic farming. And the more small farms in America means there's more locally produced food, which means there's less petroleum burned in transporting all this food across the country. And there's some studies that have been done by Cornell University and Iowa State University, which showed a large use of energy and cost in transporting the food across the nation. And if you just go into the supermarket and take a look at the produce section, you can look at strawberries and oranges that are coming from California. And right next to them is stuff grown right here in Florida. And it looks just as great. So, when you eat food that's grown within a few miles of your home, the carbon emissions, they drop drastically. And it's a great benefit. Studies have also shown that these small farms sequester carbon in the soil a lot better than the large farms do. And it's because they use organic compost and fertilizers, and they spend a lot more time with the farm as such. So
You mean the farmers spend more time
They spend more time
cultivating the soil and using
compost, making compost, whereas the industrial farms, they just buy bags of fertilizer and spread it over the land. It's a lot more intensive. They use a lot of herbicides and pesticides, whereas the organic farmers don't use that. They try to use natural items to control pests. So it helps a lot. The small farms are basically found to be like 200 to 1,000% more productive with more dollar output per acre than the large industrial ag operations, and that was pretty amazing. And the reason for that is they specialize in high-value crops like the vegetables and flowers that they grow, and they're using the natural fertilizers, which I mentioned, and the pesticides, which are far less expensive than the big farms use. There's a lot of green-minded people out there that always ask me. They say, "Country Dave, what can I do?" You know, as a consumer, they feel like the world is so big. It's like, what can I do? What that would make a difference? And I always tell them, well, you know, we've already made a difference in the organic produce. They have a great market share in the food industry. It's just continuing to rise year after year. And what you buy in the store really does make a difference. You know, the supermarket buyers, the supermarket managers, they look at this stuff on a monthly, weekly basis. And it's really important to just get right in there and buy what you want. And it's already shown organic areas in the stores are getting bigger and bigger all the time.
Yeah.
So it's pretty neat that way. So basically, what I recommend is trying to think green and try to buy locally produced food and try visiting a local roadside market when you can. And we'll
Or your local green market, right?
Yeah, local green market. Definitely.
Yeah, you've been great, Country Dave. We've learned so much from you over the last several months.
Aww.
You know, and we were talking about the carbon emissions associated with food transport. I know at one point you gave us an article that said five grapes travel an average of 5,000 miles before they get to Publix.
Right. They were talking about the cost of shipping this stuff all over. I mean, they were like shipping fresh strawberries on jet aircraft to go to New York. Well, I'm sure the New Yorkers love the fresh strawberries, but, you know, when you think of all the jet fuel used and the trucks and everything.
When we've
involved.
Got Plant City right here that has the best strawberries in the world.
It's awesome.
Yeah, we talked, Missy, a few weeks back with Rick Hawkins at local Ecopia, and their mission was to connect local growers with restaurants and
hospitality,
catering. Yeah. Now Dave is suggesting here that we as a group of individual consumers can just go right to our local grocery, purchase the local foods with a small environmental footprint or eco footprint, and then that demand will consistently get the attention of the manager at the store, and maybe those products will
definitely
be the majority of them, and that's where we really need to go with this. Right?
And also request it at local restaurants, because they can participate just as well.
Just as well, definitely. So.
Great.
Okay.
Well, thanks for coming,
It was
Dave.
Worth the wait, Dave.
Great.
Yes, it was. All right, well, our first little bit of news today after Dave's Country Corner is about Goliath Groupers. Goliath groupers, which were listed until 2006 as a critically endangered species by the World Conservation Union, may soon lose their protection from fishing due to recovering population levels and pressure from fishermen. John said that he sees a lot of Goliath groupers out there these days. Is that the case?
Yeah, actually catch more now than I ever remember even as a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're doing well then.
Yeah, well,
so that just
yeah.
goes to show you.
Protecting them works.
Can make a huge difference, that's right. Well, divers have long enjoyed the company of these huge friendly fish, and if taking Goliath groupers becomes legal once again, population levels may fall quickly, some divers fear. Well, the state of Florida is considering lifting the protective status of the Goliath grouper so that they can be killed and fished again. There is a petition, if you're interested in signing it and protecting these Goliath groupers, that can maintain its current protective status. The petition can be located and signed at the homepage of wetpixel.com, wetpixel.com. So if you're interested in trying to protect those Goliath groupers, feel free to go online and sign up on the petition.
You know, Missy, I know you think I'm crazy, but the story, Jonas and the whale,
yeah.
I think the whale was really a Goliath grouper, and there's legend has it that that's actually what it was that got him.
No way.
I'm serious.
It wasn't a manatee?
Oh.
I mean, if it's going to be something, a grouper?
Okay, let's get this straight.
I'm sorry, but I think these they were drinking too much when they were making up these stories. Yeah, I don't know, a manatee. What about Ilya? Have you heard any news on Ilya?
No.
We checked last week.
Yeah, Ilya's missing. Hopefully back en route south.
Yeah.
If everyone remembers, we were tracking a manatee that had migrated north out of the Keys all the way to Boston and New York. And he was in New Jersey last. They tried to plan a rescue, and they had a bad storm right before the rescue attempt, and he's gone missing. So hopefully he's on his way back.
Yeah, we've heard no news about Ilya,
yeah.
So we said we would update you, but we don't know.
Right.
So
right. When
we find out, we'll have to tell you when we move to WXEO,
yeah.
NPR.
Quick,
okay,
quick.
Florida counties to address climate change impacts this past weekend. Did you hear all about that, the 350?
I did, but yeah, I guess you have more.
Well, I have a little bit more. Prior to the weekend, on Friday, Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, joined by Monroe counties, all got together to share some interest together and to try to mitigate global warming. They kicked off what participants pledged would become a cooperative effort to address rising seas and temperatures that threaten to profoundly change the landscape and life from Key West to Palm Beach, and, of course, the rest of the state of Florida as well. Broward County Commissioner Kristen Jacobs, who was on the show, she's fantastic, spearheaded the summit. She said it not only makes practical sense to share our resources, data, and strategies, but political sense as well. The counties hope that more clout with lawmakers in Tallahassee and Washington will help to spearhead this primary goal to shape state and federal climate policies and get more funding to communities that are at the most risk, namely South Florida. The current House version of the federal climate change legislation, for instance, divvies up funding to states alone. The counties back the Senate bill, which sets aside 12% for local governments. Judging by the presentation, South Florida will need every dollar it can get, as major infrastructure overhauls are needed, even to lowball sea level scenarios. So
that's what we were talking about. Even if it's just a few inches to a foot, low-lying areas, street drainage, stormwater drainage, you name it, infrastructure is going to have it's a tremendous impact on infrastructure.
And we've already, our sea level has risen 8 inches, I was reading, since the early 1900s.
Deal.
So we're,
right.
It's already happening. We just need to try to slow it down a little bit. And also across the world, people got together on Saturday at 3:20 in the afternoon, our time, Eastern Standard Time, and participated in 350 or initiative, which was basically about people getting together and saying that they want to stop global warming and mitigate climate change, and spent 6 minutes in silence, basically meditating, I guess, or putting their will and their thoughts towards trying to mitigate climate change throughout the world. So, and there were tons of events everywhere. We had bicyclists down in Miami, people on the beach in Del Rey, David Elter, who is here, and the mayor from Coconut Creek, Marilyn Gerber. They participated this weekend, so we'll ask more about that.
Great. So. Good to see a lot of interest there.
Yes.
Disappointing news on loggerhead sea turtles. 2009